Lamentations chapter 3. It's good to be here this year, and just want to thank y'all again, like everybody has, but we are thankful for your faithfulness, for your support, for your prayers, and just for your friendship. It means very much to us to meet that. Starting in verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. This verse 24, it says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. You know, at first on the surface, that may seem maybe like a very general, non-specific statement. But I've been thinking on these verses a lot lately. And what the Lord has been showing me is that the Lord, all that he is, everything that are all of his attributes, that is my portion. And that is why it says, therefore will I hope in him. And, you know, I just thinking, well, what is the Lord? And to me, verses 22 and 23 are my testimony in my life. It says it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His mercies are what have saved me, first from sin, from condemnation, but also daily they save me from so many things. And then his compassions fail not. Those two words, his mercies and his compassion, I have to say tonight, that is my testimony. I have an overflowing cup. My portion is great. When I really stop and look, my testimony is that his mercies and his compassions have been faithful to me and have been ever present. Grew up in a faithful Christian home. My parents, very faithful, very just to me, examples of faith. And I never realized it at the time, but looking back now, so many things that you see. And I'm thankful for that. A solid, loving church family here that I've had with you for many, many years. That is only because of his mercy. That's only because of his compassion. A caring and faithful husband. Also, just his mercies. The loving gift of my daughter. That's completely his mercy. And this ministry that he's happened to put us into, which was the biggest surprise to me when it happened. But he's faithful, he's merciful, and he's compassionate. And that is my testimony tonight. You know, it says, I was thinking about this, and it says in Luke in chapter 12, it says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And so these verses, although they are such a consolation to me and really a spark to keep me going, to remind me, such a great reminder of his compassion, his mercy in my life, it's also a challenge to me. It also pricks my heart that all this mercy that has been given you, what kind of mercy do I give out to others? Where is the level compared to Christ, compared to God's mercy? And it does say that we need to strive to be like him. And I've just been thinking about that a lot and comparing what I've received, what I've been given, and what I give to others in the ministry as we deal with people. Also in the church, once people get saved, it's great and they start to grow. But as you all know, there's also some that start to get knocked down or start to make bad decisions or start to really disappoint you. And boy, I'm so quick to just, okay, that's it. My mercy's gone for them. You know, I just, you know, just my mercy compared with Christ's mercy, his compassion is unfailing to me. But yet my compassion is selective and fainting so often. His mercy, it says it's new every day. It's a fresh start every single day for me from God. And yet my mercy tends to wax old. My mercy tends to, not be so fresh every day towards people that I deal with on a daily basis, even towards my loved ones. My mercies, I've got the scorecard right here. Okay, you know, I've forgiven you this many times, or you've done me wrong this many times. You know, I keep good records sometimes, which is a shame. And the Lord's just really been dealing with me on this. And God doesn't do this with me. It says that he'll not remember my sins. Once I've confessed them, they're behind him, and he's ready to give me fresh mercy every day. And I praise the Lord for that. But I need this. I need unfailing compassion for souls. To me, that is a key ingredient for me for our ministry. And I ask for your prayers for that. I need fresh and enduring mercy for my brothers and sisters because much has been given me. I thank him because he has not consumed me, like his verse says, and it's only for his mercy. It's only because of his compassion. The condemnation that I deserved, I did not receive. I received mercy. I received compassion. I'm forgiven and free because of his salvation and his mercy. And verse 24, because it says there, therefore will I hope in him. And I can hope in him. I have good cause. His mercy and his compassion have not failed me, and his faithfulness is great. In verse 25, another thing that the Lord's been kind of tying all this in with me in my thoughts and my as I considered these verses, it says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. You know, God is good to the soul that seeketh him. I've seen that time and time again, as John was saying, when we see people come and listen and they're in the meetings and, you know, we're not sure if they're gonna really get it or not. But you know, when they do, and when we see them seeking him and they have a hunger for his word, we know that God's being good to them. You know, that's his promise here. And I can testify in my own life that God has been good to me when I've sought him. And so many souls in Mexico that have been saved because of God's goodness and because he is faithful to stand by and to wait and to draw them to himself. And he is so good to them that seek him. And so if God, who these sinners have truly offended, they offended God, not me, not any of us. If he can be good to those souls, then shouldn't I? And that's just what the Lord's been dealing with me on. Of course I can. But that means there's no room for my skepticism, for my doubtful heart, a lack of compassion and mercy towards them. There's no room for that. If God can be good to them as they're seeking him, then so should I. And I really want to strive for that. The other day, actually right before we came down here, John has a study with a young lady and her mother. And the truth is, for the last month that we've had studies with them, to me, I basically call it a study with the young lady because the mother literally sits next to me and yawns and stretches and just kind of plays with the grandkids and it just, you know, and my unmerciful heart and mind think, man, you know, how rude. I can't believe, I mean, she just not even listening, you know. She's just practically looking at her watch like, when is he going to finish, you know. But, and so I've, in my mind, maybe written her off or thought, you know, that's just a shame. That's just too bad. Oh, well. And the other day we were there, and John had to go to the car to get a hymn book that the younger lady wanted to buy. And as soon as he walked out, and her daughter walked upstairs to get something, it was just her and I in the kitchen, and she usually asked me about things like, so where are you from, and why did you come here, and, you know, things about that, and what's Texas like, and do you really like Mexico, and things like that. But this time she looked over at me, and she said, so how can I find forgiveness?
Amen.
And, you know, we only had a few minutes, because I'm telling you, as soon as John walked back in and her daughter walked in, it was back to the tending to the kids, and for some reason, I don't know why, John's the nicest guy in the world. Anybody that knows him, anyone will talk to him, anyone, and they do. But for some reason, maybe she just doesn't feel comfortable talking with him. And I had a few moments to tell her, but it shocked me, you know. And boy, it just really cut to my heart that the mercy that I've been given, why can't I give it to someone else? And so I'm just thankful that the Lord brought these verses my way recently. And they've been a real blessing and a real conviction. But, you know, he is good. And the last verse, verse 26, it says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Those two words, hope and wait, those are hard, both of them. To hope for something and then wait for it. But you know, this is something sure. The salvation of the Lord is sure. It's a hope that is a promise. It's a given. It's going to happen. And I know that it's going to happen more in Toluca. I know I'm praying and I'm trusting God that there will be more added to the church there and in all the works that we pray for and that we all support and love, all the workers. I need compassion and mercy to wait quietly. Waiting quietly, it requires patience. It requires mercy and compassion in my mind because selfishness gets in, and that's when you can't wait very quietly because you're thinking of what you have to do, that you're not seeing results. Let's just get on with it. Let's just go somewhere else, whatever. But waiting quietly, I know, requires compassion and mercy. And God waited for me. He was patient with me throughout my whole life. He always has been. And so, yes, I have cause for hope. And I am thankful because the Lord, my merciful Lord, is my portion, and what a great portion it's been, and I'm thankful for him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.